Now, our first guest today is a respected psychotherapist specialising in cases of childhood sexual, emotional and mental abuse. Few of her clients would know, though, that her brilliance as a therapist comes from personal experience. She's now put her own story into a book called A Child Inside. Please welcome to the show Sharon Shaw. Thanks for joining us, Sharon.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so you now help other people in a similar situation, but it's your own personal experience that's helped you to understand, I suppose, and empathise with these people. Can you tell me a bit about your story then?
Yeah, so I've experienced sexual abuse from 6 years old, which was a friend's friend's dad, and then it obviously I disclosed family sexual abuse at 10 because some other children come forward and they asked me about it. Which then, you know, everything changed. People around us at the time, obviously society, now me looking back and analysing it, I think everybody was frightened and didn't know how to cope with it, didn't know, you know, frightened of what would happen to us as children, you know, what we'll become, which I think I internalised and took on, you know, I was frightened myself.
Mm.
You know, oh, am I going to become, and, you know, is this going to impact on me, and, you know, and at the time I was okay. Do you know what I mean? I felt okay. Obviously, it wasn't a nice experience. Do you know what I mean? And it was, you know, frightening and everything else. But I felt okay. I think the whole experience of other people not knowing what to do or, you know, how to cope with it or, you know,
yeah,
what support there was at the time, which, you know, there wasn't anything. You know, we weren't offered counselling or anything really.
Wait, so, you weren't offered counselling, crikey.
No, there wasn't anything really at the time. So we were just sort of like left to disclose, you know, the story, and then sort of left to get on with it. But then, you know, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to understand, you know, why. But nobody wanted to talk about it. You know, it was like, so it was a secret to start off with, and then I disclosed. So you know, it was like obviously real, and then it was then became a secret again.
Did you, I mean, it must have been hard enough telling any adult about it, whether it was your parents, because I should imagine at that young age, at 10, you'd worry that they don't believe you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I say, I think, you know, because of my experience and what basically my perpetrator told me that my parents would die, so I believed him because he was an adult.
Oh, that's
awful. I mean, I didn't think, you know, I just believed that they would die. I didn't question it. He was an adult, and I'd been brought up to believe in adults. You know, I mean, that they were older, and, you know, when you respect them, and, you know, and they'll look after you. So, you know, I didn't understand as well. It's for me, analysing myself now, going back, I now understand I didn't have the mental capacity to understand what was going off, or, you know, to be able to forward think or do it, you know, anything in order to try and save myself or to explain myself, do you know what I mean, of where I were.
Yeah.
And everything. And I think because obviously society at that time, and even still now, I still see it in society that there's so much fear about sexual abuse, you know, and everything else, that, you know, people clam up because they don't know what to say or how to cope with it or deal with it.
Yeah.
That, but it didn't help me. I mean, it didn't help me as a victim at all, because I didn't have nowhere safe to explore it.
And did you, or did your parents go to the police? Was he arrested?
Yeah, so basically the police came to us because there were some other children that had come out about it. So, and obviously the police asked around what other children used to go to the house. So the police came to us, and I can remember just coming home from, we'd been working a jumble sale for the blind, you know, doing a sponsored blind. I remember coming home excited because there was a car outside the house, and obviously those days there wasn't a lot of cars, so we were excited to do it. Was, and there was just this intense emotion and fear that when I went into the room, and a man and woman were sat with my mum, and they just basically said, there's been allegations, there's some, has he ever touched you anywhere, they didn't want him to, and just, I just had this knowing, and I just went, yeah. And I just told my story. My mum said it was like you just told your story as if it was an everyday occurrence. Do you know what I mean? As if, but inside I was just so frightened.
Yes, of course.
That people, you know, that people wouldn't love me.
Oh, it was, that's so terrible.
Well, that was my fault as well, because, you know, it tickled me back, and I liked my back being tickled. So, you know, me at that time, I believed that it was that the reason why it happened. Yeah,
and I suppose reliving it with the police, and then presumably a court case. You were going through it all over again.
Yeah, well, with the court, with the first abuser, it didn't I didn't go to court. They wanted me to go to court because, obviously, you know, he denied me. So he admitted to all the other children that he'd abused, but he denied me because I was younger. So he'd get a higher sentence, because I was only six when it started to happen. But he would get a higher sentence. So my mum said, no, I'm not putting her on the stand, because my mum was worried that, you know, obviously it would massively affect me. Mm. You know, being honest, there was no video links or anything like that then, do you know what I mean? I would have had to stand on the stand and tell him the story. So he never got done for me, but it wasn't until I was older, like 21, I couldn't seem to get over it, do you know what I mean? I couldn't process it or anything else. I, at 21, somebody told me that you can obviously claim if you're being sexually abused, and I was, at the time, I was so angry with society and saying no. You know what I mean? I don't want money. Do you know what I mean? It's like saying it's okay what he's done, and it's not. Mm. And anyway, in the end, I decided, my mum says, well, you know, this might help you heal, do you know what I mean, and, yeah, and get over it. So anyway, I did do it, and they refused me twice, saying that they didn't believe me. And then I went, and I had to go to court hearing to tell my story, and basically then they believed me, and that was so healing.
Yeah, that's good, that's good. And I'm guessing all this was sort of what led you to want to become a psychotherapist, to help other people, other children.
Completely, yeah. Well, I think I still got stuck in myself, do you know what I mean, of figuring out, you know, and wondering why, because it happened again. I also was abused again at 13 by a family friend, and he knew about the first abuse. So, obviously, at that time when I was abused again, I thought, it's got to be me. There's something wrong with me. Do you know what I mean? Why has it happened again? And, you know, it's just got to be me. So from all my experience of life, you know, I kept getting stuck, and, you know, it's got, you know, it's me, and obviously me looking to try and, you know, to try and understand, you know, what it's all about. I was obviously reading papers, asking people they're evil, do you know what I mean? Or, you know, so victims would either become mentally ill or become evil themselves. Petrified me, absolutely petrified me. I know I didn't want to become evil, I don't want to become mentally ill. So, you know, trying to manage. My mum was brilliant, my mum was my saving grace, really. But again, I could only just, you know, there were certain bits I would hold back when I knew I could, you know, she was hurting of me talking about it. So, I would hold stuff back. It wasn't until, obviously, I went to counselling, you know, to study it and everything else. I had my own personal counselling, that the bits that I held back, you know, that I couldn't tell my mum, or I didn't feel I could disclose, that I was able to disclose there, that really fully healed me.
Mm, yeah. Well, you've put all this into a book, and it comes through a series of letters to gain understanding and closure on what happened to you. Is that because you were writing like a diary or letters at the time?
So with regards to that, was the first abuse, my perpetrator, obviously I was only six, so I didn't really know him, or, you know, other than he was a friend's dad, and, you know, didn't have any relationship with him, really, other than going around to my friend's, you know, friend's house and stuff, not that I can remember. With my second abuse, we had, you know, there was a relationship there, I mean, it was, you know, a relationship where, you know, he would teach me how to cook, you know, he gave me responsibility, so there was a lot of, so when, you know, people were saying, and obviously I'd come out of that second abuse and we'd gone to court and everything and he got not guilty, but everybody was saying it's because they're evil, you know, I was still trying to find answers for evil, and I'm like, but, you know, there was so much in that relationship, and it, you know, he wasn't evil, and why can't then these people, why can't we see them? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Why, you know, if there's something wrong with him and what have you, so it was just, when I'd done my personal development at university and, you know, looked at myself and done my personal counselling, the memories were coming back, and I'm like, well, I want to know what's happened to him. And through my own development, you know, my own behaviour, I lost balance a couple of times, you know, and did not very nice things, you know, of going out around town and, you know, and teasing the guys and going, get lost, you can't have me, you know, and walking away. And, you know, and from me sort of accepting that behaviour, you know, of working through it with counselling and trying to understand myself, what happened then, you know, at that time I think I was turning evil, you know, and so the more I processed it, the more I understood it, the more I understood that I was hiding my emotions and I was losing control, because I had nowhere safe to understand myself, you know, in all that I'd experienced. So then it's a bit like all of us, if we look at ourselves, you know, how many times have we said something to somebody that we know we shouldn't be saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We haven't got control over it, you know, because there's emotions that build that much that we're not enough aware of ourselves, that we lose control. I was losing control in a really dysfunctional way because of my past experiences, you know, and everything that I've experienced. That I didn't have somebody to bounce off, you know, to feel safe, to really disclose all my thoughts and all my emotions, to be challenged, you know, safely with somebody who I felt safe.
So did writing the book help you?
Massively.
Did it?
Absolutely, yeah, really massively. I mean, the counselling obviously healed me, but the book has helped me to really analyse myself and really understand my behaviour. So that's what, as well, obviously, before then, after the personal counselling, I just felt like I needed to have a bit of closure with my second perpetrator, and that's why I decided I'm going to write him a letter. So first of all, obviously, I was petrified. I'm going to write him a letter, but I wasn't going to send it to him. You know, I was just going to write it and then see how I felt sitting, you know, we were writing it. But in the end, I went to my mum and I said I want to send it to him. My mum was angry at the time, and I was worried about, you know, what people would think. I mean, you're weird, you want to, you know, what you want to send your perpetrator a letter for. But I wanted more understanding. Do you know what I mean? I felt like I'd lost control. Did he lose control? Mm. You know, and what happened with him, and what have you. So I did. There's a few letters which are in the book, you know, that I wrote. And,
did he write back to you?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Did that help? Did it give you closure, or could he not really
explain? You know what it did? It did. It really helped, and it helped me. I think it helped the child inside me not be frightened of him no more.
Oh, that's a good thing then. That's
yeah, completely. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way he can explain. He was obviously grooming you, and it was wrong. But anything that's going to help you now, it can't be a bad thing, can it?
No, and it gave me closure on that. And I think it also, you know, there wasn't really much in the letters regards to think about it. You know, there was. I do believe that, you know, there's part of him, because people loved him. You know what I mean? It was around, and you know, people loved people. So there's part of him that is good. Do you know what I mean? And then there's part that is that's lost, and then there's it, you know, this behaviour that's really evil and not very nice. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah,
functional in lots of ways.
So how do you help children now? How do you sort of pass that on? And you, what techniques do you use to help them?
Play therapy. From all my analysis of me looking back, I think what helped me to keep balance, and I obviously didn't realise at the time, but I started writing a diary when I was 9. And that was an outlet for me, which I was, again, at the time I didn't realise that. So diary, and also playing. You know, even play, if you think about ourselves as adults, you know, when we're stressed or we're, you know, what do? We go out and have a drink, you know, around town, and we're relaxed with girls or with friends, do you know what I mean? We're having a bit of an outlet of, you know, as might just numbing his mind and just being a bit freer. And for me, we're like, within play, it's massive because all those emotions can be projected out, but within play, they're safe.
Yeah, and talking as well, does that
yeah.
help?
Well, yeah, but some children haven't got the language, don't forget.
So yes. Okay,
you know, depending where we are, cognitively, you know, as we're growing and developing, for me, that's why play is so important for kids, because they might not have the language yet, but eventually through playing, if they're safe with an adult playing, you know what I mean, and having different experiences that, you know, this therapist can analyse and see where that child is and sit with the emotions. You know what I mean, the adult isn't going to close the emotions down or say, you know, you shouldn't be feeling that way, or, you know, oh, you're all going to be okay. Do you know what I mean? That emotion's accepted, which eventually the child will find the language to disclose.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, the book that you've written is called A Child Inside. I now understand why. Understanding, Healing and Freedom Following Childhood Abuse and Trauma. It's by Sharon Shaw, who we're speaking to now, and it came out at the beginning of the year. Sharon, I think you're very brave. I salute you. It's great that you've told your story, and keep going. Keep going on and helping others through all this. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, no problem.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.